And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. And as always, we'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing on this Tuesday morning? That well, huh?
Zoom is muted.
Good morning. I want it known that I didn't try to speak until I had the mute.
I don't know. When you let it go for 5 or 10 seconds, it may still count as a mute. We'll leave that one up for interpretation.
That's a dramatic pause.
Okay, good. How are you?
Great. How are you?
That's good. Doing well. Michelle, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great this morning, guys. Happy Tuesday. I went all day yesterday thinking it was Tuesday. Woke up thinking this morning was Wednesday, but it's okay. It's all right. Having a good morning so far.
There we go. Some NBA playoff action last night, Joe Rex Road. The 76ers go on the road with no Joel Embiid last night and win 119-115 on the road against Boston. So how about that last night from the 76ers without their best player getting the win on the road? And what a night for James Harden, 45 points, 17 of 30 from the field. He's chucking them up there last night.
Yeah, tough couple of nights for Boston, for sure, which is a shame because, you know, they haven't had too much luck with sports over the years. And I watched Rangers Devils, a bunch of Rangers fans last night. So, man, that was not pretty. That was not pretty at all.
I am really in shock in the way that series closed out. Like, they were so much better than the Devils were the first two games of that series. And then you lose 4 of the next 5. Like, it just, that's such, it's not going to go down this way because, you know, they weren't up 3-0 or 3-1 or anything like that. But I consider that to be quite the choke job by the New York Rangers in this series.
It's quite a collapse. Also, the goalie change. Schmidt is this amazing, young. Yeah, I mean, he was impressive, man. He's impressive. I will say that there is some enjoyment from watching Patrick Kane just sort of skate around ineffectively like an 8-year-old. But, yeah, that team should be advancing.
The matchups in the second round of the playoffs are set. The Maple Leafs, who I believe are now the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup, taking on the Florida Panthers in the second round. The Hurricanes and the Devils, with the Devils-Rangers series being closed out last night. And then the West, you have the Stars and the Kraken and the Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers, which I'm very much looking forward to that series.
That's probably the main event here of this round, I would say. Should be really good.
So that gets rolling basically tonight. Florida and Toronto playing tonight, and then Seattle and Dallas tonight in the nightcap. And then tomorrow, game one with New Jersey and Carolina, and game one with Edmonton and Vegas on the road as well. Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Will Levis situation. We're going to get back into Will Levis, at some point today here in the show as well. John Glennon joining the program at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to his thoughts on that. But the rest of the Titans draft yesterday, beyond the Will Levis part of this, and we went over the picks yesterday, but if you had to identify your favorite pick and your least favorite pick, where would you start? And let's start with the favorite for both of us. And Joe, you can kick us off there.
Can one be the same?
Sure.
Both things? Because you know how I like to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yes, I do.
So, first of all, I think the best pick, the best player is Peter Skoronski. And, I think that everybody thought the Bears were going to take him, or possibly that he might go earlier. But to me, the classic favorite pick, but also, man, what are you doing, is Tyjae Spears. If you watch, and I have more, since they picked him, I've watched a lot of stuff, like him against USC and him in some of these other games. I mean, last year he was incredible. And the thing is, the Titans absolutely needed – we have not talked about this. We talked about Will Levis, kind of the do-over for Malik Willis. all these offensive linemen, four offensive linemen in high in the last 4 years because the first two didn't work out. You know, Roger McCreary last year kind of like, well, Caleb Farley, you got to get another corner high. Well, Hassan Haskins, to me, this is a do-over for him. In theory, I mean, maybe Hassan Haskins comes out this year, second year, and really establishes himself, and then that could be the tandem moving forward, you know, Haskins and Spears. But I kind of look at it like it just didn't, you know, that didn't really take last year. And Julius Chestnut, I think, was better than him when he got opportunities last year. So they did need to get a back. They needed to get a third down back. Dontrell Hilliard has a neck injury. He was a huge part of the offense, like it or not, last year. They did find a way to use that other back effectively in the passing game. So I really, between that and the fact that he's so fun to watch, I like it a lot. And then I flip it around and say, like, that's where you take a receiver. That's where you take a receiver. And also the injury thing is, you know, this doctor, you follow this doctor. Oh, shoot. What the heck is his name? Like, you know, the doctor, is it David Chow? Is that his name?
I think so. Yeah.
You know I'm talking about. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. People get all over this guy because sometimes I think he just speculates about stuff. Right. But he had a tweet about Tyjae Spears yesterday. Okay. So is this a fake one? This is the problem with Twitter now. I mean, I don't know what the heck this looks. I don't know. Well, I was trying to go to Dr. David Chow right now because he basically had a tweet yesterday. I think it was the actual guy. I'll have to confirm that during the show because Twitter now you have to investigate every tweet. But he basically said like he's going to have a very short career. And we've talked about that already. You know, I suppose you could look at it like, well, if it times out the time of a first contract for a running back, that's what teams typically want to do is first contract and then go to the next cheap running back. But obviously the injury and the need aspects of it kind of make it my least favorite. So that's a weird answer, but that's my answer, and I stand by it.
See, I hate that pick. I absolutely despise that pick, really for three reasons. And one of them is what you just laid out with the injury. I mean, I feel like we're in, you know, just we're in, it's just deja vu over here of the Titans drafting somebody with a medical that is just, from some other accounts, absolutely awful. And you were talking about having short careers. I hate it from the standpoint of you could have had a wide receiver there and you went with a running back. And I also hate it from you went from a running back, as Corey Curtis brought up yesterday. It's probably going to be a third down back for you at best, and that's even if Derrick Henry isn't here. Like, if Derrick Henry – like, is this guy going to be your every down back if Derrick Henry is gone next year? Maybe, but I severely doubt it. I mean, I have nothing against Tyjae Spears personally, and like you said, he was really fun to watch at Tulane, and he actually lit up USC last year. So, you know, I like that part of it, obviously, but there's so much about that pick that I just absolutely hate from the Titans standpoint.
I just love it and hate it.
You do love it and hate it. Yes, you do. I mean, this. I realize that, you know, three wide receivers went off the board right before that pick, if you're the Titans. And obviously, two of them we talked a lot about in Hyatt and Tillman. But just going running back there, as soon as they made that pick, I said, what are they doing? Like, why are you going running back there in a spot where you clearly need a wide receiver? And I get it. It's going to be the board. That's what the board said to do. I have hated that pick from the moment it was turned in until we're discussing it right now. So congratulations, Tyjae Spears. He's going to turn out to be an All-Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that he – I mean, I do think that he could be more than a third down back.
He's awfully small to be more of a third down back, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he's not – there's a huge difference between him and the current primary back, but he's not. It's not like he's tiny. He's what, 5? I don't have it in front of me.
I'll pull it up.
He's like 187, I think.
Is he okay? Yeah, I thought he was 195, but yeah. I mean, it's obviously. I mean, that's the pick that everybody was like, "What are you doing now?" The thing is, you know, if you look at, you know, the receivers that. And TD talked about this yesterday, you know, A.T. Perry and some of these guys, it was still like, okay, well, there's still some guys like that. that you thought were maybe right around third round picks, you know, those guys didn't actually go until like the fifth, you know. So some of the board after the pick kind of confirmed, you know, that maybe, you know, that the running, that the receivers were, would be a reach at that point. Although Michael Wilson, honestly, I don't know anything about Michael Wilson from Stanford, but he, you know, he went shortly after that. But, you know, so, I mean, it was kind of, you know, the board obviously didn't play in their favor. So, I mean, obviously that's that 10 pick gap. And I do think that they probably do something different. Can't prove it. We'll never know. And if like Tillman, who I really think is going to be a, I mean, I'm confident in Tillman being a good NFL receiver. I mean, I just feel like he would have been the perfect pick for them as a young guy. Put him on the other side of Burks. You got two physical. You may not have the burner still at that point, but you have, you know, you got two outside receivers that you can work with moving forward. But didn't happen.
It is kind of amazing. Like I was thinking about this yesterday, and you brought up Hassan Haskins, right? I mean, let's think about the running backs that in like the last 4 years they've drafted. They drafted Darrington Evans in the third round. We know that didn't work out. You drafted Hassan Haskins in the fourth round, and now you drafted Spears in the third round. That's three picks on running backs. We know how many picks they've had on offensive linemen. I mean, we're going to have to start counting a long time, listing the picks they've had on offensive linemen. You've added another one in Skoronski now. And I'm not saying Skoronski was the wrong pick. I'm just saying between running back, offensive line, and even now like quarterback to a much lesser degree, going Willis last year and Levis this year, there's a whole lot of drafting the same position that the Titans have done over the course of the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, just way too many do-overs to, you know, to get enough traction. Yeah, the offensive line thing is the most severe. But, yeah, the Haskins thing, I don't remember it really being discussed much during, you know, over the weekend, you know. But if he, and I know he's more, Haskins is more backup and maybe successor type of pick, right?
Yeah.
Really not a third down back. But, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, again, last year he just didn't impress that much. Like you said, Darrington Evans was supposed to be what now Tyjae Spears is supposed to be. And I mean, for him, there wasn't really health concerns coming in, but obviously he couldn't stay healthy here. So it's way too much of that stuff. Even at corner, you know, obviously, I mean, I feel like, you know, you can kind of go with like, you can't have too many corners, but I don't know if Farley had worked out fine. You know, I think second round pick last year is probably something different.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're off and running here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft. What was your favorite pick in the draft beyond the Will Levis part of this? And what was your least favorite pick in the draft as well? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Mark, hang with us on our phone line. We'll get to you as well. Let me tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators. Season tickets for the Preds 2023-24 season are on sale now. Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary throughout next season. Full half and quarter season plans are available, and you can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations at the best pricing, up to 50% off discounts on concessions throughout the season, and up to 6 bonus tickets to select games in the 2023-24 season as well, plus priority access to the 2023 NHL draft and awards, both of which are hosted here in Nashville coming up this summer. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, thanks for hanging with us. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? I got a couple of things. Hey, Joe. Got a couple of things to talk to y'all about. Hey, I'm going to go to the Pinnacle Bank today. I got an appointment down there. I'm going to see if I can borrow about $4 or $5 billion, and I'm going to buy the Titans. I'm going to tell you something, Joe. That was one of the worst drafts that for a first-time GM, and I've nothing against Rand Carthen personally or anything like that. I don't know the guy, but I'm listening to what y'all saying. I'm like Robbie. I disagree with the running back. They should have took wide receivers, even if they had to move up or do whatever. They really didn't feel the needs. They didn't need a running back. Not like that. It wasn't that crucial to get a running back. But they did need some wide receivers, some playmakers and stuff. Now, Levis, I think that was the best thing to happen to him, for him to fall like he did. Maybe that'll inspire him and motivate him to want to come in camp, prove some doubters wrong, and maybe be that guy after Tannehill leaves next year. But Robbie, I mean, do you agree? Was that a great draft? What grade would you give, you and Joe, give the Titans for that draft?
Well, Joe, you know how much I love draft grades. You want to start with that one?
Yes, I'll give it the grade that I give every single draft ever in the history of mankind. It's a C. I have no idea what the heck's going to happen with this stupid draft, so it's
Mark,
a C.
To me, to answer your question, I like the Skoronski pick, and really beyond that, I don't know. Like I don't like the Levis pick, but I have an open mind as to that working out for the Titans. Really, to me, that's what it's going to come down to, Mark. Like, when we look back in this draft 4 years from now, will we ask about Tyjae Spears? Maybe. Will we ask about, you know, not taking a wide receiver to the seventh round? Maybe. But I think the draft at the end of the day is going to come down to how good or not good Will Levis is. That's basically, in my opinion, what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I agree with you on that right there, Robbie. But, Joe, do you think I can get this loan today? I need like $4 billion. Maybe I can, you know, let Robbie be CEO, let you be GM. Hey, Joe, I may even hire Steelman and let him script me up some plays off PlayStation and Madden and let him be my offensive coordinator. What do you think about that?
As long as he's also like the kid who runs out and grabs the tee and rolls around on the field and stuff, then I think that's fine.
Yes.
You keeping Vrabel?
Yeah, I'm going to keep Vrabel, but, you know, we all probably would be fired. With Steelman as the offensive coordinator at the end of the year, you know we'd probably all be fired for that. But, hey, at least we had a run at it, right?
That's right. Mark, thanks for the call, buddy. Good to hear from you.
All right. See y'all later.
All right, Mark. All right.
Mark from Nashville on our phone line. I can just picture Jared right now running out to retrieve the tee after the kickoff. It's a beautiful sight.
And then getting to call a play. I think that'd be really nice. What is the Titans' valuation right now? Does he need $4 or $5 billion?
I don't know if he need $4 or $5 billion. Maybe that loan becomes a little easier for Mark later today.
Yeah. I don't know. What did Washington just sell for?
Six.
Yeah, they were
six.
Long.
Yeah.
Denver was four. Four something.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. We'll have to look that up. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Maybe all right, Mark. So the terrible draft, but you know, to his point. So here's one thing I do think about this draft. I mean, going with the board, all that stuff.
Right.
But also, I think need is more likely to be zeroed in on if you think you're really close, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of how I read this draft too, is like they're looking at this like a multi-year solution, which isn't going to be fun to watch this year unless some things really break their way with guys on the current roster, or maybe something shakes free like Vrabel referred to the other day. But and if you think about it in a multi-year kind of way, then next year Spears could be very important, you know, and next year Spears could be very important. Levis could be starting. And by then, between your cap space, which you will have a ton in the offseason, and your other next draft, you need to have obviously more at that position. It feels like they're kind of moving toward looking at 2024, which I know some people don't want to hear. Now that when you say that, it's like, then why are Tannehill and Henry still here? That's the frustrating thing, is like, if you're going to run it back with them, don't you try to give them the best situation possible? Tannehill has sat here the last two drafts, watch him draft Willis, watch him draft Levis, watch him trade AJ Brown, watch him not draft a receiver. Two straight drafts. got to be awesome in his home watching these drafts.
Yeah, I'm sure he's having a great time watching these drafts come together, and we'll have a little bit more to say on that front at 7 o'clock because I think it's a great question. Like, if that's what you're doing and Tannehill and Henry are coming back this year, then what exactly is going to be the chance that they have any success whatsoever? We'll get into that and more coming up at 7 o'clock here on the program. Josh from Cookeville on the text line says, the Spears pick felt like the days of old with drafting players who have been hurt and, quote, could be good. Caleb Farley is the most recent, and he was a first-round pick. I hope Spears can be a good contributor. I agree with Robbie. We should have gone receiver there. Alex from Montreal says, these are all do-overs thanks to J-Rob's awful last few years. There's some Alex from Montreal on the text line.
And just remember, but, you know, I have to save something for the rant. J-Rob, I don't think, operated, you know, in a bubble. And I think A.J. Brown is one you can put all on him. So thank you to Pete from Adairville. He found this tweet. David J. Chow, that was my problem, pro football doctor. Again, a guy who I think had worked for a team previously. Now he basically just goes on Twitter and tweets about injuries.
Yep.
But this is what he says. Take it for what it's worth. On Spears, he says, now reports of full thickness cartilage loss, which is end stage arthritis, which would explain why his knee is not unstable with his ACL tear. Arthritic knees with bone spurs are rarely unstable. Can play in the NFL, but will have a very short career. That sounds promising.
Yeah. Well, look, obviously the two of us are not doctors, thank God, but that doesn't sound great when you start to look at the medical. Like, you know, it was interesting. I heard, you know, Caroline Willie and D-Mace talking about this yesterday too. Like, the guy played all last year. Like, Spears was – he played. He was available last year.
He was amazing.
He was amazing. So, all that's really good. Now, what does that mean as they move forward in the NFL? Like, if he doesn't have an ACL and there's no knee cartilage in there, like, what does this all mean for his health as they move forward? I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that question. I just know that here we are yet again talking about a risky medical pick with the Titans. And I know it's not a first-round pick, Joe, but it is a third-round pick. Like, it's not an insignificant value pick here that we're talking about risky medical history once again with the Titans.
So, has it been Vrabel all along?
Well, maybe.
He's Vrabel, the one who made J-Rob pick all the hurt guys.
It's like, wait, let me tell you this. That guy's hurt. Toughness. Let's get him.
We can fix him. You know, I don't know. They said they believed they listened to the medical people, and the medical people were confident. The same thing was said about Caleb Farley. Now, with Caleb Farley, you can't predict ACL tears, you know. But you can predict
the back.
You can. Indeed. In fact, I don't even remind me exactly where Caleb Farley is right now health-wise. Like, he's a complete afterthought, but he is still on this roster.
Well, he's still on the roster. The recovery was going to be a several-month-long thing. I don't know specifically where he is right now, but I guess he's going to be ready by the time training camp comes around.
I want his exact condition right now, Robbie.
Well, ski a ticket.
6:27 in the morning. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans draft coming up next. We'll also take a look around the league coming up and highlight a few of our favorite drafts around the league as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs who support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes as well. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the NFL draft, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, we've had a whole lot of participation on the text line the last few days and the phone line. We very much appreciate that. Keep them coming on the text line. Text line feeling themselves right now. Trevor from Waverly on the text line says, if you don't have an ACL, and you can't tear one. Forward thinking on behalf of the Titans. Joe from Maryland on the text line says, I figured it out. They're going to address the wide receiver room by moving Farley back to wide receiver. Boom. Fixed. This is from Joe from Maryland on the text line. Yeah, maybe so.
Well, seriously, you think of a three-wide set of Burks, Farley, Tannehill, you know? I mean, that's some physicality. That's some speed.
Length.
Some experience. Some length. I mean,
Tannehill will block out there.
Tannehill's not afraid to throw the body around, man.
Oh, not at all. Oh, no, Tannehill, big part of the run game.
Tannehill could be a good red zone target in all seriousness. Like, you know, pretty good size to him. He'd be a good red zone target.
He could, but you know what? I'll throw a bubble to him, too.
Yeah, let him go.
You know, just let him get it. Yeah, I mean, he can scoot, man. He can still scoot.
Titans are playing chess. We're all playing checkers. That's what we figured out here on the text line over the last few minutes. Oh, just beautiful stuff there on the text line. Ron says, do you guys think during the trade with the Cardinals that the Titans might have had a conversation about D-Hop? I think he'd be a good addition to this team, the leadership in the wide receiver room, and a player that doesn't drop balls. This is from Ron on the text line.
I mean, there's been a lot of D-Hop talk, and one of the reports when the Titans were clearly trying to go up and get C.J. Stroud was that was part of it. Now,
that was from Mike Florio, yep.
Yeah, Rappaport quickly threw cold water just on the D-Hop part of it. So Rappaport basically confirmed the Stroud number three idea, but said, I think he basically said Hopkins would not be part of it, right? We've been talking about D-Hop for a long time. Look, at this point, something like D-Hop or something like Corey Davis, I guess, you know, who I don't think would come here, but like something like that, hey, sure, okay. Kenny freaking Golladay, that guy was amazing with the Lions a couple years ago. He was, I don't know what the heck happened to him in New York, you know, but I mean, at this point, something like that, I'll say sure,
yeah,
better than nothing, but in, I look at DeAndre Hopkins and I just worry that it's another one of those stories of you get to 30, you get in the 30s and you have some injuries and you've had a PED thing, and yeah, you can see where it could come quickly for him, right? Where he's just kind of obsolete.
The interesting part about this, and I agree with everything you just said there, but the interesting part about this, like going back to, are they looking ahead more to 2024? Like we've talked all offseason about the fork in the road or the decisions that the Titans have to make when it comes to the draft and which direction are they going, all those things. And one thing that we've talked about a lot was, like, do you feel like Mike Vrabel has any interest in, like, a rebuild or a reset or whatever words you want to use whatsoever? And the general thinking on that has been no. And yet you look at this draft, taking Will Levis where they took him, just the way the receiving room looks right now, like, it's hard for me to get to a place where this offense is going to be very competitive this year, even though they have fixed, you know, or potentially fixed the offensive line. They've at least addressed it. You know, I'm still looking at the wide receiver room right now, and it's like, well, if Tannehill and Henry are back, that's great. Who in the heck is Tannehill throwing the ball to right now? It's just still in a weird spot roster-wise where it comes to, like, okay, so are they looking ahead to 2024? Are they trying to be good here in 2023 while also looking ahead to 2024? Like, what exactly is going on here with the Titans?
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, really, what happened with the draft is they kind of – I mean, I asked Rand Carthon the fork in the road question. We've been talking about that forever. Which way are you going? If you take the quarterback in the second round, then I think you're going more on the path of, you know, of rebuilding. You're acknowledging that it's time for a new era. But, yeah, that's the thing. It's like acknowledging it's time for a new era, and then your legendary back is back, and your starting quarterback, who's still good, is back. So, I mean, I guess you could look at it like the Chiefs of 2017, kind of the same idea. Yeah. I mean, they took Mahomes, obviously much higher than the Titans took Levis. It could have been almost the exact same spot. The Titans took him at 11, right? But they were still good. They won the division, but obviously you can't have a better example of still being good, competitive, home playoff game, but new era is coming next year, no matter what this guy does. You know, the problem is that team was not limited as you just laid out, like this team on the offensive side of the ball, from what we know on paper. So I think it's more of a rebuild. And I guess one explanation for it is just that the market, and we talked about this too, it just wasn't there for Tannehill and Henry. I believe that there was at least discussions out there about Henry and about Tannehill. And we've had reporting on both things from very good NFL reporters. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But also it makes sense that, like, they couldn't find spots for him.
Well, also, like, timing-wise, and we talked about this at the time, and I think it's become even more evident as free agency has gone on. But, like, the timing-wise, like, if you were Rand Carthon coming into this job and your idea was, you know what, I still believe in Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. I think that we can win with those two, and I think that we can fix this offense in one offseason and get back to being competitive. And then you look at the free agent corps and you're like, oh, my God, these wide receivers suck. Like, this, the timing of it just didn't work out at all whatsoever in terms of, like, if you wanted to have the quick fix, quote-unquote, it was going to be really hard to do that with the wide receivers this year based on who was available in free agency.
Right. So we're like, well, the draft, oh my, how many receiver picks are we going to be seeing? Two for sure. Three? Could it be three?
LD on the text line says Jarvis Landry is available. Cam also says the name I'm interested in is Jarvis Landry, a guy that has a ton of experience being wide receiver too. I don't know, man.
Yeah. There's another guy who I think the better days have been seen there, you know? And again, like, I'm not completely dismissing that because, okay, better days have been seen, still could be an upgrade here. I mean, I don't think it's a huge leap for a lot of different possible additions to be an upgrade here on this room, but I think Landry's another one of those guys who is on the wrong side of things.
Also, he apparently did not have the greatest relationship with Ryan Tannehill based on what he said after Tannehill was gone.
That's right. That's right. He did take some shots at Tannehill, didn't he?
Yeah. Now, if you know,
that's water under the bridge.
Well, you know, Will Levis maybe is the starter. Maybe you don't have to worry about it if you're Jarvis Landry.
Fair point. Now what? But what if Tannehill has taken Landry's reps on the other side?
You know? Well, like then,
they're both fine for slot reps.
That relationship could get worse. Ryan, we're gonna fight for our playing time here coming up. Yeah. I don't know. Like, to me, if you were gonna make a move, that's why I almost wonder, like, could they still be looking at a trade for a wide receiver? Like, if you're let's say, you know, and we're gonna get more into the Tannehill discussion coming up, but let's just say you feel like if you're Vrabel and Carthon, you're looking at the roster by the time training camp comes around. You say, we need a wide receiver. Like, we've got to go get a wide receiver, whether it's Hopkins or whoever. Like, we know what the free agent pool is. There's not much that's out there. Like, could the Titans consider making a trade to go get somebody? And really, with the way that they've addressed the draft, and now that you know Will Levis is going to be your quarterback of the future, like, is it worth going to get a wide receiver this year and giving up the capital that it would take to go do that? I don't know.
That's a great question. It's just, again, it's like, and now if that happens, you're like, okay, so they are trying to win this year. Again, I don't think they're trying to lose, but it would take something like that to think that it's not a, like, a multi-year thing, you know? Ultimately, when it comes down to it, each year, again, with Tannehill and Henry, it's like, I think that you should try to put better players on the football field this year, even if there's, like, some short-term fixing in there, just to try to be, you know, competitive this year. And the AFC South is winnable this year. That's the thing.
Yeah.
How much does that matter? Certainly, this is still a downgrade, obviously, from a couple years ago when they're the number one seed, but is that not worth pursuing?
It's a great question. Sean on the text line says, thoughts on a possible trade for Judy or Sutton with Denver? Denver asking a first for Judy and a second for Sutton. If the price comes down, I'd be in on Sutton. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought Judy got extended.
I thought he did too. And, like, Sean Payton has come out and said that they're not looking to trade either one of those guys. Now, he says that, and they've drafted, obviously, in the last few years, they've got Sutton, they've got Jerry Judy, they drafted KJ Hamler, and they just took Marvin Mims Jr. in the second round out of Oklahoma, which was a wide receiver target that we had talked about here with the Titans as well. So, like, is somebody going to be in the move there? I don't know, but they did just draft Marvin Mims Jr. as well out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and that is – so there is something to the idea of, like, teams that upgraded or really addressed receiver – Bears being an example. TD brought this up on Caroline Willie DeMace. Mooney, what about a guy like Mooney who, you know, now they got, of course, DJ Moore, Tyler Scott, who, by the way, there's a guy who, like, if your board was similar to Dane Brugler's, the Titans would have taken him instead of Tyjae Spears where they took him. He did go all the way down at 133. But the Bears, you know, in theory, there's a guy who, like, the team with, okay, maybe this is a guy they would be willing to move, and it wouldn't necessarily cost a lot. And, I mean, look, he hasn't been all that impressive, but he does have some talent, and maybe there's something there to work with for Rob Moore.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Coming up next, we'll look ahead or look at the rest of the league, our winners and losers of draft weekend here in the NFL. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, it's time for our winners and losers of draft weekend, which I feel like is your sneaky way of trying to get me to grade this draft. I feel like this is intentional by you, and I like it. Way to go. First mute of the day for Rex Road.
Yeah, thank you. That is first. Yeah, well, this is the other thing. I actually like these. I've always liked these better, you know, the winners, the losers. Now, yeah, when, like, someone does these, and it's some teams, but then you'll have, you know, then you'll have, like, a player too, like a player who fell, or a player who went higher, or maybe like a particular GM or whatever, or a quarterback who got an incredible, like, next year, whoever quarterbacks the team that drafts Marvin Harrison Jr., he'll be one of the draft winners.
Oh yeah,
right. Draft winners. Will Levis. Now he has Marvin Harrison Jr. to throw to. You know, for example, I'm just giving Titans fans something to get excited about.
Just look forward to it.
But I'm just thinking here. Just, I guess, really, like, class-wise, okay? Yep. Class-wise. I think we should almost – I think the Eagles should almost just be like, you know, Stairway to Heaven and Freebird.
They're my number one winner. Yep. They're retired from this discussion.
Yeah, they're retired. Like, everybody would rank the Eagles, which is ridiculous and unfair, that the Eagles are number one. But they are. I mean, like, it's just absurd to get Carter Smith, Ringo in the fourth. And also, by the way, I mean, I Tyler Steen,
yeah,
former. That's, by the way, that's Vanderbilt. You get some credit for that. Vanderbilt, you get credit for Tyler Steen.
I agree.
He played most of his career at Vanderbilt. You know, in the third round, so they've replenished themselves. At Sidney Brown's a good safety. Yeah, so they're just like, their D is going to be ridiculous. So apart from them, who's your favorite?
Pittsburgh. I really like what Pittsburgh did. You had Broderick Jones in the first round at 14 overall. Offensive tackle out of Georgia. We talked about him potentially being a fit for the Titans. Joey Porter Jr. in the second round, which when we saw that they were picking 32nd overall and Joey Porter Jr. fell out of the first round, I mean, you could take it to the bank that they were taking Joey Porter Jr., and they did. I like Keanu Benton, a defensive tackle out of Wisconsin. I've watched him play a lot. He's really good. I like him in the second round as well. And then my guy Darnell Washington in round three, pick 93, out of Georgia. I really like what Pittsburgh did in this draft.
Corey Trice is a guy who's been hurt, so I guess, you know, you're singing the praises after we're complaining about the Titans taking guys with injury. But seventh round pick, who actually, like, he profiles, if he's healthy, as like a day two corner. So that also could be a really good value. So at the expense of sounding like a certain other
Homer
personality on this station. Well, no, I'm thinking more like I don't want to, because I think I would probably be agreed with by someone at 2 o'clock.
Oh boy.
But I got to go with the Colts, man. I mean, the Colts, so the one guy who I think is absolutely fantastic for the Colts, and I cannot say his name, but Northwestern's turning out some guys. Addie Adebowori, okay? Defensive tackle out of Northwestern. Goes, you know, 110 overall. I mean, Blake Freeland is a guy I saw some people, and again, mock drafts, take him for what they're worth, okay?
Right.
But I saw some people who thought he might sneak into the late first, but certainly could be a second-round pick. They get him at 106, and I love Josh Downs, man. I love Josh Downs. Josh Downs is a fun player. There's another one of those guys who went during that run. It was Tillman, Hyatt, Downs, all boom, boom, boom. And, of course, the Colts are the team. Because I think it was – so it was Tillman and Hyatt first, right? So in the Titans draft room, in the Titans media draft room, where Gaharsky's like, okay, you're all paying attention, or else you can't tweet about the picks, everybody. Well, we're sitting there. I mean, we were all talking. It's like, okay, so it's got to be Downs. And then the Colts take Downs like, oh, my. Ooh, and, of course, Richardson. I mean, look – that's just like we talk about with Levis. That's ultimately going to determine the draft. But right now at this moment, hey, the ceiling's high. He could be incredible. So if he isn't and he flames out, then the whole thing changes. But right at this moment, I think that's the best non-Eagles draft. They got a lot of guys, too. I don't know much about tackle Jake Witt, but he's from Northern Michigan, so I'm going to give him a chance.
Yeah, give him a chance there. There was one pick in the second round that really intrigued me just based on kind of where they took him. And, you know, obviously, as we know, your boy Bryce Young, drafted by Carolina, they signed Adam Thielen this offseason to bring him in to be kind of like the veteran presence there. But the Panthers taking Jonathan Mingo in the second round, where they took him pretty early. Like, there was the early run on wide receivers, right? And, like, the Jordan Addisons and the Quentin Johnstons and the Jackson Smith and Jigbas, they go in the first round. And I believe Mingo was the first wide receiver taken in the second round by Carolina. And that's – we've talked about him. Like, obviously, he went to Ole Miss. He's 6'2", 220. So, like, from a size perspective and where he went to school, a lot of people talking about, like, A.J. Brown – and we had Nick Suss on last week who covered Jonathan Mingo at Ole Miss. He said, I don't know if he's A.J. Brown, but he could be pretty good at the NFL level. Like, that pick was pretty intriguing to me. Obviously, you're giving Bryce Young a target there to come in there. But Mingo to come in, I guess, you know, go alongside Thielen, who's kind of like the veteran there. I'm interested to see what Mingo does in his first year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Look, speaking of receivers, I mean, I love Seattle getting Jackson Smith and Jigba where they did.
Yep.
You know? I feel like, I mean, because to me, if you're an offense that already has really strong outside receivers, he is going to be a real problem for people. You know, I still think that he is a slot receiver in this league. And I know that his versatility, some people thought, is why, you know, he should go higher. But to go to that situation, I really like that. That's going to be great for Geno Smith. My biggest, to me, my big, and I know this is cliche, but draft loser is the Detroit Lions. And look, Jahmyr Gibbs I like a lot, okay?
Yep.
Jack Campbell, inside linebacker at 18?
Hey, apparently he's really good. That's what I've been told.
I mean, yeah, sure, fine. But you're talking about a team that, I mean, they're supposed to be winning. You know, there's, again, this is kind of like a need thing or whatever. I understand. Don't reach for need, okay? But, like, by any board that I know of, and certainly not by need, that's not your pick there. And to me, that's a first-round pick. Again, Jahmyr Gibbs, a lot of people were mad at them for that. It is high for him. I like him a lot, so I won't knock him too much for that. But also, I just think Michael Mayer – and it's their choice, but they take Sam Laporta instead of taking Michael Mayer at tight end. I think Michael Mayer has a much higher ceiling than that. So I think the Lions screwed it up again. And I just, like, I don't hate the Hendon Hooker pick. I mean, I think that's a great value for him. Talking about a guy people thought were going to go in the first round. But, you know, I just basically I don't like it because I feel bad for him that he's going to the Lions.
Yeah, well, like I said, I have some Lions fans that are still very mad at me. after my comments the other night on Twitter where I just said, Hendon, I'm sorry. That's where you ended up. So sorry, Hendon.
I believe the roster
right now is not in bad shape for Atlanta. It's really not. Or excuse me, for Detroit. I'm looking up Atlanta right now.
The roster's not in bad shape?
No, they're the NFC North favorite, man.
Yeah, the Minnesota should be the NFC North favorite.
I'm just saying, the betting favorite is the Lions, man.
Good luck, all of you who are betting on them.
Yes, thank you very much. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Coming next, we'll get back into the drafting of Will Levis by the Tennessee Titans. Should the Titans consider making him the starting quarterback this season? We will get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.